Friday. Yeah. Friday, 26th of February, Yud Beis Hador Tov Shein Ayin, Rav Yehuda Baruch Lieberman, The Purim Personality.
I hope that was just the lack of a comma. My name and then the Purim Personality. But perhaps it won't be such an insult by the time we're finished. I'd like to look at the Sugyos of Purim this year again. Last year this time was the last year before Purim, but it was Tanis Esther. Today, Baruch Hashem, speak to you after breakfast. It's a little easier. But then the whole approach this year feels different to every other year. Normally, you come from Tanis Esther straight into Purim. It's a very interesting, you know, you've been fasting all day, and then you come into the Megillah, and then it's interesting. When it comes this year, well, Purim is on a Sunday, so we've had our Tanis Esther yesterday on Thursday, now we've got Shabbos Chodesh Pasha Zohar, and we go straight from Zohar into Purim. But we don't have that, you know, the Megillah isn't rushed, so nobody's going home to eat, there's no, everything's Rogua, everything's calm, and if you look at the 2 years, this year and last year, it's a time to be misbehaving, a time to stop and think, what is this? Why do we normally have this strange experience of going from a tinus, which is normally a sad and somewhat serious day, into the happiest day of the year, the Yom Kippur? It seems like a contrast that seems surprising. This year, where we don't have it, we notice it. It's the first thing we've got to look at. And then look at this year, where we've got a different type of avodah. This year we go from Zohar into Purim, to hear the connection between Zohar and Purim. Now, if you look at last year, the normal year, it's just such a pella, because of the contrast. And then you think about this year, and you think, 1 second, shouldn't we really be fasting on Purim? What's Purim about? Purim is about overcoming Amalek. Purim is about the ability to fight against the Kochos Hara. And the Rishonim tell us the reason why we have a Tainus Esther is because before you go to war with Amalek, a Yid fasts. And that's not surprising. Amalek is the one who gets a Yid to be involved with the body, to be involved with materialism, to be involved with Olam Hazeh. So the most natural response is, before I get involved in Amalek, let me fast. Let me get away from Inyon Olam Hazeh for a few hours, and that gets us the perspective that allows us to get into the Milchama with Amalek. In fact, L'chaira, if we were told that we should make a Yom Tov that's going to fight Amalek, it probably would be a Tainus. Instead of the Tainus before Purim, when it comes to Purim, we celebrate, and we eat, and we drink, and we party. It reminds you of Achashverosh. I mean, this is what Amalek can do, isn't it? They eat, and they drink, and they get shikach. How's that a koyach that gives a yid the inspiration he needs for a whole year to overcome the negative powers of Amalek? That's one shaila. Because once you think about it, it's not at all clear that this should be our response to fighting Ra. That's one shaila. Why is the appropriate response to Amalek Sudas Purim? You can take that from a slightly different angle, which is the Bach. There's a famous Bach who contrasts Chanukah and Purim. You know, Chanukah, there's no mitzvah Suda. There's Epis and Inyan, and all the Peskim are muttering, what's the Inyan of having Sudas on Chanukah? Why do you have Chanukah parties? What's it all about? Is it Chiyuv? Isn't it Chiyuv? Comes to Purim, and that's the Ikkar. How come? Says the Bach, simple thing. When it came to Chanukah, the Goyim at that time, the Greeks were trying to erase Yiddishkeit. They didn't mind if you ate and drank, if you went home and joined them. They had no problem with the life of a Yid. They had problems with the Ruchnias of a Yid. So, Chomo, Klal Yisrael and Yovon is over Ruchnias. When we regain our Ruchnias, we celebrate. How do we celebrate? Ruchnias, Lahoidas, or the Halil. It's all about saying Halil and thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu. When it comes to Purim, in the times of Purim in under Haman, it didn't help. A Yid could have shmad Rachman Islam, could have joined the Goyim, wouldn't have helped him a thing. Haman was out to kill, to completely annihilate every Yid, to get rid of the push of the goof of the Yid. He didn't want any Jewish bodies around, nothing. He was going to kill half that Bri. So it wasn't the Shaila of a religious war, a Melchomen Ruchnius. It was all about Gashmius. Will we survive physically or not? So Memela says the Bach, when we celebrate, we're celebrating that which is physical. And therefore it's all around the physical celebration. And therefore we have a Suda, which celebrates the Guf. I've heard Mashkichim repeat this Bach a number of times. And for some reason it was always in a Chanukah Shmuz and never in a Purim Shmuz. Can you guess why? Because Mashkiach's trying to inspire the Bochrin. So Chanukah, it's a Neridig inspiration. Gewaldig, you miss Eire, you've got to get to the Nyonim of Ruchnis to Chanukah. Was he going to say that Purim? Well, Purim's all about the Guf? That's exactly what Mashkiach stands for. Don't get involved for the Guf. And the problem is Mashkiach's not wrong, is he? That's again what Yiddishkeit is about. It's about leaving the Guf and relating to the Neshama. And here all of a sudden we've got a Yom Tov just party. That's the first Shaila. How can that be a suitable response to Amalek? And how can this be the Tachlis of Yom Tov? And the second thing is to look at this year, at the Avodah of going from Zechira, Parsha Zocher, into Purim. We don't have a Parsha that prepares us for most Yom Tovim. There's no Erev Chanukah, a special Parsha to get you into Purim, into Chanukah. There's no Parsha before Pesach even, Parsha Sachedesh Efshe. There's no Parsha before Shavuos, no Parsha before Sukkot. And that's because in this inyan, when it comes to Amalek, there's a special focus in the Torah. Zocher, Zechira, Nizkorim V'Nasim. And this is a number of dinim. Nizkorim V'Nasim tells us that the process of affecting Amalek has two parts. Nizkorim, Zechira, remembering, arousing the sinner for Amalek, arousing the intellectual awareness, and then Nasim, then you can actually do Purim. That's why Zocher always is before Purim. More than that, even on Purim, I know the Yechidish, when do we have the Suddhas Purim? Shein Halach has to be in the day. When it comes to Suddhas Shabbos, when it comes to Suddhas Yontov, we have the Suddhas straight at night. You also have the Suddhas in the day, and maybe the day Suddhas a little more Choshev, but the Chiv Suddhas is Gleich, as soon as Yontov comes in, as soon as Shabbos comes in, you have to have a Suddhas. In Purim, the Yontov also starts in the night before. So why at night don't we have a Suda? So the Sasem is a great Sechidish. He says, Be'etzem, as far as the Yoim, as far as the Yom Tov of Purim, intrinsically, you could have had the Suda at night. But Shteta Megillah, Nizkorim, V'Nasim. First you have to have the Zechira, and then you can do the actions of Purim. What is the Zechira on Purim? What Zechira do we do? Megillah. Megillah has a din that the main kriyas hamegillah is by Yoim. There's also kriya balayla, but the main kriya is by Yoim. You can't do the mitzvahs of Purim till you've had your zechira, till you've had your megillah. So that's why we have to wait till after the megillah. Nizkorim v'nasim. What about this Yom Tov? It's so special that it has these two parts: nizkorim and then nasim. But those are the shailas to understand why Purim is such a physical Yom Tov, so focused on the Guf, and to understand the inyan of Nizkorim V'Nas. Let's try have a look at Amalek and look at this Yom Tov of Purim and see if we can get back to answer these two questions. The second question is relatively easy to deal with. It's almost poignant. We know that the struggle that we have in life, possibly the biggest struggle we have, is taking a concept that we know, taking the truths that we recognize, and bringing them into our lives. Mi yale b'har Hashem, u'mi yokum b'mkoyim kodshei. Yale b'har Hashem, to get up to a madrega, first-time inspiration, is not that difficult. But to maintain it is always a struggle. You know, I don't know if you've ever told off a child. Anyone here ever told off a child?
No.
And you're busy. You say, you know, and what's the worst thing a kid can turn around and say to you? I know. You're busy telling me. Yeah, I know. And what's the most infuriating thing that an adult can say to a child? He says, I know. And what do you say? Well, if you know, why didn't you do it? Right? And is that a reasonable time? If it is, it's the cash on our lives. If you know, why didn't you do it? We all know that davening is the most important time in the day. We all know that learning is the ikar tachlis of our chayim. We all know mitzvah sadiq. If we know, why don't we do it? Because we know and the distance between that node, between the brain and the heart, the emotions and the actions, the guf, is probably the biggest distance on this planet. It's the hardest to overcome. Yes, of course we know. Our seichel's okay. We worked it out. But to bring that seichel down into the guf is such a struggle. Even when we do get an inspiration, it lasts for a few hours, a few days. And the miyokum in kenkodshoi, to make it solid, to make it something that lasts, is difficult because the guf hasn't got the message. So we've got that struggle between the mind, the clarity of the mind, and the action that we're meant to live with. And this koyach, the specific koyach of splitting between the mind and the body, between the intellect and the emotion, is a koyach that is shayach specifically to our molik. It's an interesting thing. We know that all the goyim have got ideologies and philosophies that are not Torah, and anti-Torah often. And yet, what will happen when Mashiach comes? We're told that they'll all find some part in Yom HaMashiach. They'll serve Klal Yisrael, they'll become toppled to Klal Yisrael. And those who are roy, those who are deserving amongst the Umas HaOlam, will also have some kium for Yom HaMashiach. There's one exception. Who's that? Amalek. Amalek mochit timcheseich Amalek. Acharisoi adayoyved. The end of Amalek is complete destruction. Why is that? What's that mean? What's that stand for? It's a beautiful vote I once heard from the Vilna Gaon. I've tried to look it up, but I haven't found it. I know the Gevot. At the end of Parshas Matos, we find a list of the cities that Klal Yisrael conquered in Eva Hayadim. A number of cities. And it says about those cities, Musabi Shem, that they all had their names switched. So it gives a list of the cities, Oin, Baboin, I don't remember exactly all the names, and then Musab is shame, and then the next word is the S Sivmo, and Sivmo. And the Foshim Nish tells us, what do you mean, the S Sivmo and Sivmo? Was Sivmo not Musab is shame? Why not? How come? Is in Shlach Kodesh Station, there's a Neridiger Remes here. The Sherish of Sivmo represents a terrible Kayach of evil. Navot is an interesting idea, that these Canaanim, these nations who lived, Eva Yad wasn't actually Canaan, it was Sichmonoik. These goyim had such a spiritual awareness that they were able to tap in to the energy in each place. And they knew what this place stood for. When they built a Beis Avodah Zarah, Rachman Yitzlan, that they made sure that they could channel the energies of this place towards the service of Avodah Zarah. When Klal Yisrael came into these places, they said, wow, if there's this koyach here, musaboy shame. Let's take those names, and musav means to redirect something. We'll redirect those koyachas towards ruchnis. So where there was a tifrach monoslam, they built a shul. In each place, it represented that angle of avodah that originally had been used for avodah zarah. There would be matayr and mekadesh, those very koyachas that had been used for avodah zarah. That's this sugya called musaboy shame. And they managed in every city except for one. When it came to Sivmo, they couldn't do it. They tried. There was too much tumah there. The roots of tumah were found in this place. If they could have been massacred that, it would have been Mashiach's time already. It would have been the tikkun of the whole evil of Olam Hazeh. So those koyachos called Sivmo, that they couldn't overcome. So the Goyim, what of these essential negative energies that they couldn't deal with? So there's three that are famous, and then there's a fourth one. The three are Kina, Taiva, and Kovit. Metzinas, Adam, and Oilam. The envy, the jealousy, that creates so much animosity amongst people. Taiva, the desire for that which is physical, and Gufni. And Kovit, the drive for power and control that seems to motivate so much of the world we live in. Kina, Taiva, Kovit. So the Goyim, these are represented by the fact that there are powers of Nezikin in the world. The world that are damaging Koichos. The mission in the beginning of Baba Kama lists, Shere Boreh Mavah Hever. So the Goyim, you'll find there a reference to these three Mazikin. Kina, what's Kina? What does it represent? Which of the elves Nezikin? Pashut, the Shere. What does the ox do? He gores. An act of goring doesn't give you anything. You just achieve one thing. What's the tachlis of goring? You got yena out of the way. That's kinna. There's nothing. He doesn't really need anything. Abi yena nisht. The keach of shur is the keach of kinna. Taiva is shein or adam, the one who has the insatiable needs, or shein, the desire of an animal to eat. That's taiva. And kovitz, says the Gaon, interestingly enough, is that which takes everything and makes it part of the life of one person. Eish, power, or fire. Fire consumes everything and turns everything around it into fuel to keep it going. A person who looks for power wants everybody else to serve him. That's the kerch of kovitz. So we've dealt with shur, mava, heva. But there's a fourth mazik in the mission. What's that? Boir. What's boir? So the Gaon, boir is a human being's ability to create a reality that isn't true. Interesting. A boir is a new space. But suddenly, you suddenly have a mokim in Hilchos Shabbos. A boir is a rishus hayochid. But you haven't really built a new mokim. You've just created a gap. A human being is able to create what we call today a virtual reality. It's not real. It's not there. But he can walk into his own world and cut himself off from reality. That, says the Gaon, is the koyach that we call Lashon HaKodesh, Leitzonos, the koyach to not take things seriously. And that boir is another negative koyach. Prikas oil, that desire to be free, to do what I want, I'm not connecting to the world around me. Shor, mava, heva are well-known koyachas, but there's a fourth one, says the Gaon, called boir. In fact, this is worse than all the other three. And he goes back and says, now you understand why the place called Sivmor is represented by these four koichas. It had within it these four koichas. Sivmor is spelt with a sin, so it's Rosh HaTevis, Shor, Boir, Mav, Heva. Those four koichas in the Zikin, that they couldn't overcome. Lasid Lovoi. So the Gaon, Lasid Lovoi, they'll be mistaken these koichas. At the end of Yecheskel, the last two words are, V'Hashem Shema. Talks about Yerushalayim HaKodesh, Lasid Lovoi, V'Hashem Shema. So they're going, V'Hashem, the name of Hashem will be revealed, Shema, Shor, Mava, Heva. Those koichas will be Mekudesh and be able to raise them up to Kedusha. No, what's the obvious kasha? What happened to the boir? So they're going, boir has no tikkun. The boir is the precious oil, is the not serving HaKodesh Baruch Hu. That koyach, the tikkun of that koyach is, wipe it out and get rid of it. That's Amalek. That koyach is represented by Amalek. That koyach is that which is mafsik between the mind and the intellect. It doesn't allow us to take things seriously. Yes, the mind is developed. We makir the Ribbono Shel, we learn and understand, but we don't bring it down into our lives. The mind of Esav HaRosha was also fully developed. It was so kaddish, it was buried in the Maros HaMachpelah. It's the goof of Esav that had to be left outside. Maral says even further, that's why Haman and his sons were hung. Hanging is a death. Be'etzim is exactly that. It's a pirud. It shows what happens when you separate between the heart and the mind. When there's a hefsek there, that's hanging. A pirud between the roish and the goof, not enabling it to be chal v'poil in our chai. And it's not surprising then that the avodah of Purim specifically, because it's clashing with Amalek, is to get to the clarity, first to get to the Tyrus and Machshava, the Machshava should be sorted, but not to stop there, then to take that Machshava and make sure that it filters down into the goof. Niz Korim V'Nasim. That's why it's such a focus first on Zechira, then on Asiya. We come in Pasha Zochir, we have a remarkable avodah of being Ma'orah, the Hisorus, the mind, the clarity. That Amalek is not what we stand for. Of course, it's a surprising thing, you know, but we're meant to just be Ma'orah's sin. The tachlis of Zechira's Amalek is to hate. It doesn't sound like a very Yiddish Zech to do. Just when we're laying this Kriyas HaTorah in order to hate Amalek. But the emesis, kol the tzanusa asura, all leitzonos is evil, lebaram leitzanusa David azor. There's no good leitzonos except for leitzonos avedazor. It's a gevaldige kasha. We just said that the Shem Legoim, that Litzonus has no tikkun. There's no good Litzonus. And the Teretz is poshut if you think about it. The essence of Litzonus is the prikas oil, is the inability, or the unwillingness, more accurately, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connect to the dictates and demands of the intellect, of the mind. That's the koyach of Litzonus. When a person finds something else is stopping him focusing on emes, and he is mevatel that mevatel, a double negative is a positive. It's not, we're not anti, we're anti the anti. If you're anti the anti, you're actually pro. What the koyach of Mechias Amalek says, what should a person do if he doesn't feel his iris of Amalek? Should he find the Midas Hasinah Belev and start arousing the Midas Hasinah? So the Sassan says, no, don't bother. Be ma'uru your avas Hashem. If there's avas Hashem, mimele the sinas Amalek. The way to get to sinas Amalek is mitoch avas Hashem. If we really care for avodas Hashem, and we suddenly realize the reason why we're not matzliach in our davening, the reason why we don't have enough focus on learning, the reason why mitzvahs are so difficult, is because there's Amalek, automatically there's a hate for Amalek. We hate that which is anti-Torah. The koyach of, and what we need to do with that is niskorim v'nasim, recognize and then bring it lidei mas. Very interesting thing about Purim that helps us to achieve this niskorim v'nasim. But stop and think about what the avoid of Purim is, and if we think about it, it's a nuridiga tool in effecting this change, this niskorim v'nasim. Kimu v'kibla Yehudim aleihem v'alzara. Kimu v'kibla. Klal Yisrael v'kabal ha-Torah mechodesh. What inspired that kimu v'kibla? Rashi says, famous Rashi, me'ahav asanes. He felt such a love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because the nes that he'd done, so mikeach ahav asanes, that they were inspired to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you think about it, I mean, this wasn't the first nes that had happened to Klal Yisrael. Every day, we talk about Sechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim twice a day, we remember the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlom does nisim for Klal Yisrael. And those nisim were nisim geluyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the ten makas, he washed the Mitzrayim away in the Yam Suf, and since then, from entering Eretz Yisrael, all the way through our history, we saw open miracles. Mamish, nisim geluyim. Now it comes to Purim, and Purim HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a nes, but this is a much, much weaker nes. It's a nes nista. It's a hidden nes. There was nothing that was supernatural. Nothing that went against the rules of nature. It's just the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulated everything that was happening. It turned out to be a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. It's a nes nista. It's a tiny nes. And all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael is so impressed. Psh, wow. Avas HaNes, Kimu V'Kibla. It's a beautiful word on this. Chazal said that L'Manatzeach Al HaYenes HaShachar refers to Esther. The nest of Esther is a nest that's represented by Shachar. Shachar is the point before dawn when things are really, really dark, but you see the first ray of light on the horizon. There's two ways you can overcome Laila. One is you have street lamps or spotlights. Sometimes you see a place that's been so floodlit that you wouldn't know it was night. When you're there, you believe it's mamish daytime. It mamish looks like yom. That's one way of overcoming it. There's another way, which is Aleis HaShachar. When day dawns, it's not night anymore. Which is more powerful? There's no Shaila. The second. The first Kayach, however bright your floodlights are, but they're overcoming the Laila. Where am I? I'm in the middle of the night. Grada, I have something external that lights up this area. But intrinsically, it's Choshech HaLaila. When you see that first straw, that first ray of light, it's still dark, but I know now that night is not forever. I know the night doesn't last. I know that there's going to be a day. I suddenly recognize with a clarity, this isn't the reality. Kriyas Yam Suf, Yetzias Mitzrayim, are nisim that come from the outside, but we still live in Olam Hazeh, in the Choshech, in the Teva. There's another koyach, an external koyach called Nes. It's amazing while it lasts, but at the end of the day, we still live in Laila. The Nes of Purim showed us that there is no Laila. the teva is also biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We didn't see it all the time. We don't see any flashes of lightning. It's a little bit of light on the horizon, but it tells us teva is also biyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person recognizes that, it's amazing. All the evil that surrounds, all the terrible things that happen to us. It's not just there's terrible things happening, but the Rebbeinu Shlomo will intervene and he'll save us. There are no terrible things happening. When it seems Gefarlach Mordechai comes to Esther and he tells about the king, and you imagine that that's going to bring to you, and it just gets written and forgotten. It's written in the Sefer Zechronos, and Mordechai doesn't get any recognition for it. You see Esther, who struggles for 3 years to hide from Achashverosh, and then she gets taken to the Beis HaMelech, and a Yiddish Megel in Beis Achashverosh. It seems a tragedy. It's all Toiv. There is no Ra and Toiv in Megillas Esther. In Megillas Esther, V'naha Poichu, Hippuch in Lashon HaKodesh, means to take the same thing and switch it over. It's not Ra and Toiv. It's not Toiv overcoming Ra. It's that the Ra becomes Toiv. When a person chaps and he goes through life, there are no tzoros, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come and save me. So you should not get tzoros. Alt is Rabbeinu Shlomo. Everything that happens comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person starts thinking about that, the Niskorim, the Nasim, becomes easier. Because when the Olam of Nasim, when the Olam of Maisa, when the Olam of Olam Hazeh, we're in the Teva, and we recognize that that's also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we suddenly realize there's no Stira, there's no Gashmias, Ruchnias, Teva, Nes, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is all over. And if that's true, we can take it back, the Niskorim, the Nasim affects us in another way. Normally, we have two parts to our day. The Gashmias dig apart, and the Ruchnias dig apart. The Ruchnias dig apart ways when we're specifically doing a mitzvah, putting on tefillin, benching, davening, learning. And then there's the Gashmias parts of our lives, where we eat, drink, do business, normal, day-to-day affairs. Rabbi says the Megillah, you don't understand, it's v'naha poich. You have to take everything Gashmias and turn it into Ruchnias. The Guf also has a Kedusha. And you know who knew that more than anybody else? Homan Arosha. Homan Yimach Shemoy chat that. And various Homans and later generations chat that. You cannot leave the Ayid alive, even if he thinks he's a Goy. Oh, there's Ayid. There's a Kedusha Yisrael that goes down to the goof of a Yid. If a Yid chaps that, then on Purim, he gets involved dafkin in the Olam HaMaisa. We eat, we drink wine, but we're doing it for one reason, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this Yoim is a Yoim where a person's nisoira to recognize that there's no two parts to my life. There's not a moment in a Yid's life that's without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Niskarim, the Nasim. Yeah, we have the Kriyas HaMegillah. And I walk out of Kriyas HaMegillah and we realize, everywhere we look, there's Rebbeinu Shlomo. It's all Him. Ein Od Mavadui. If we chat that, then when we come to the Suda, we come with an Emes Simcha. Rebbe Notan Tir Shel Simcha Bepurim. Rebbe planted a special tree of Simcha. So the Shasemis that means he planted the Simcha Shal Mitzvah for the whole year. Purim can change us. When people complain, Purim's so difficult. You know, it's one thing. Normally Yom Kippur, you can think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you go into shul, and Purim are busy with the kids and the shlachmonos, and they're eating and they're drinking and zahim and zahim. It's not a problem that has to be overcome. Thus is Purim. That's what it's all about. To be involved in the Olam HaMaisa. To be struggling with our midas. To be struggling with our guf. And to say, Afal Pi Kein, I'm going to do it all for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One 24-hour period where we stop and we think about nothing, but how can I do something that will be a nachas rach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If a person does that, he changes himself. And through Purim, a person can get to a clarity, just like a Kanyam Kippur. And one ends up with not just a Mi'ana Bar Hashem, but a Mi'yokum Bimkoim Kodshei. The message of Purim takes a person through the year, that suddenly we have a Simcha Mitzvah, an appreciation of Mitzvah, and the Yavolt of the Sfasemes. Niskorim V'Nasim. Niskorim, when a person remembers V'Nasim, he becomes remade. A person can remake himself on Purim. That's a true Purim personality. When a person chaps, what the Bach is saying is not to eat guf l'shem guf. The purpose of Purim is to recognize the guf also has kedusha. Everything we do is l'man shemoi for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You go through a 24-hour period of doing everything just for the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's a Roman person, and we should take through that to the emes of Simcha Shomit.
On the subject of TV.